This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Episode 99 of the IT in the D Show is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is by far the easiest way to build yourself a phenomenal looking website. It is so easy, even a Bob can do it. Check them out at squarespace.com. Try them out for 14 days. Use coupon code IT. Get 10% off your purchase. Squarespace. Build it beautiful.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom, and what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now.
Live from the IT in the D studios above Activate Gaming in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan, it's the IT in the D Show.
At last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge.
It's I Love the 90s, and this is 1999.
Two young men apparently dressed in long black trench coats opened fire at a high school just outside of Denver in Littleton, Colorado.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D Show.
Good luck with your layoffs, all right? I hope your firings go really well.
It's easy, I'm good.
Dig you IT geeks. This is Dre DeMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly. Come on. What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the D Show.
Hi, this is Ralph Macchio, and you're listening to IT in the D Show. Wax on, you know what.
This one time at band camp,
I see dead people.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT in the D Show. No mercy.
If they think Napster's bad, I can tell you there's a lot worse coming.
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie, and you're listening to IT in the D.
Yes, Sensei!
Two students describe them as members of the Trenchcoat Mafia.
My job consists of basically masking my contempt for the assholes in charge.
You tell God the Father. It was the kindness you done.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
But I want my own ass! I want my own ass!
You're in your underwear? I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey. I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear. That's a fact.
May I have the password, please?
Fidelio.
It's a guy, isn't it? I don't think so, but I have been fooled before.
Dude. It's not like I haven't been trying to get laid.
My advice is to sleep with as many people as possible.
We got screwed at the same time. Yeah.
Always two. There are a master and an apprentice.
Sex is a joke in heaven.
The way I understand it is mostly a joke down here, too.
It's just too big. It's way too big.
That shit's the real Loch Ness Monster.
I'm going to stick my tongue in your mouth. And when I do that, I want you to massage my tongue with yours. And that's what first base is.
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
Never give up. Never surrender.
When are you thinking we sit in trouble?
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Oh, don't get me into that racist crap. My husband and I gave money to Colin Powell.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Turn your microphone off. Just get out.
I have people skills. Last year, I spent more money on spilt liquor than you made. Woo!
These are the hidden sayings that the living Jesus spoke.
That's a huge bitch.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Despite all of the assurances that the Y2K computer problems are under control at a cost of $100 billion in this country.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up?
Buckle this!
Ludicrous speed! Go!
and welcome to episode 99 of the IT in the D Show. There is no happier person in this room than Mr. Dave Phillips sitting next to me. He will no longer have to do the intros year by year.
Next, the end.
Next year. Next week is episode 100. We are sitting here above Activate Gaming in the Trinet corporate offices in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy, always here with Dave the Geek. Nuri, the B-O-M. Find us online.
The man of many names.
Right,
is
right.
What we may have to go with.
Bowl of milk.
Bowl of milk, bowl of beer, bowl of beer.
Left it out. What
tropical fish.
Left a bowl of milk out. He hasn't left since.
His hair matches his shirt tonight.
Craziness. Find us online, itandthed.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And by all means, if you want an easier way to listen to the show, go to the Google Play Store. Type in IT and the D, no spaces, and we have an app with one giant, so easy, even a Bob can do it, button. It's the July. We just went through 4th of July weekend.
We did, and we survived. All appendages are intact.
I have every single one of them.
No fingers are gone.
Yeah.
I didn't light my neighbor's house on fire this year. I didn't do none of that nonsense.
Well, you said this year. Was there a story from last year?
Oh, yeah. So when we first moved into the house like 4 years ago, this is one of the life lessons that I've put out on the site. So 4 years ago, we move into the house, you know, new construction, new sod, new everything. And this asshole that's like in the cul-de-sac behind our house is lighting – like so Thursday night, I'm a little angry. It's Thursday. Yeah, I got to get up and go to work in the morning. Friday night, all right, 4th of July weekend, do your thing, whatever. Saturday night, gets to be about 3 in the morning. I'm mildly psychotic. Sunday night at about 1 in the morning, I, in my pajama, my Star Wars pajama pants and threw a T-shirt on. Walk across
their underoos. Admit it, underoos.
They were close. They're available now. Had they been available then, I might have had Star Wars underoos.
Right.
But yeah, so I storm across the cul-de-sac. I'm not going to lie. Hypothetically speaking, I might have alluded to the fact that I knew how to blow his house up, with or without his family in it. If I so much as heard snap bang hit the ground from that side of the cul-de-sac again, kind of lost my crap. Now, the funny part of this story is flash forward to last year where the friends that we've made in that cul-de-sac were like, hey, you got to come out. We're going to hang out. We're going to drink. We're going to have fun. Life's going to be great. And so we walk back there and they're like, oh, well, we're not going to be here. And sure enough, we're walking over to Giant Bag of Douche's house. And so life lesson. I own it. Like as we're walking over, like he sees me, I see him, his eyes get real. It was like the Peter Griffin chicken thing. Like his eyes get all squinty, my eyes get all squinty. And I'm like, and he was like, hey, aren't you that? I'm like, yep, I am absolutely the guy that lost my shit on you 3 years ago. And so help me God, I would do it again. You know what? I'm good with like day of, but like, man, I was good with Thursday. I was okay with Friday. I was fine with Saturday. But when you went to Sunday at 1 o'clock in the morning and he kind of sat there and he went, wow. Yeah, when you put it that way, I was an asshole. You want a beer? And now we're like good buds.
Are you still wearing your Star Wars underoos?
No, not 3 years later, no.
So, hey, getting back to the swing of things, we got a couple great guests in the studio. Second segment, we're going to be joined
it's
by...
It's not just Bob and Nuri and I, no.
It's not. Second segment, we're going to be joined by Dave Glenn, Dan Gregory, and Matt Thompson from Creative Breakthroughs. They are security gurus. They've been around in this town longer than I've been in this industry. It should be a fun conversation.
I would not refer to Matt as a
you
security
me
guru.
Old?
Yes, we're all old. Let's get with the program. And then we also got Dan Dugan here. He's going to be talking about Maker Faire and a few other cool projects he is working on. We found him at PenguinCon, and he has not left us yet.
Another bowl of milk that we left.
Exactly. But you know what I was doing all weekend?
You were on a boat yesterday.
I got on a boat, yeah, for once. But Friday I had the day off, so I finished my second Squarespace site.
You did?
I did. It was probably this one. So the first time it's always, you know, it's kind of like IKEA furniture. The first time you put something together, it's a little, then you finally get the hang of it. And the second one, I breezed through it and got through it in probably record time.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, if you guys haven't figured it out yet, Squarespace is one of our sponsors of our show. it is by far, like, you know, for a non-techie like me, is by far the easiest way to put up. If you have a side project for like a band or your personal page, or you want to put something up, it looks like a professional.
Or you don't want to pay someone like me to actually do it right.
Right. But it's or install. No, because WordPress, it's difficult too, right? It's not fun, but this is, you know, something that's Bob proof that
it's
I can do.
So easy a Bob can do.
Right.
It, which I don't understand how that's not their tagline yet.
But no, but I told you it auto forwarded from GoDaddy. I linked all my accounts from social, puts all the little fancy buttons on the bottom. I have a cool homepage now that I've never had, and I owe it all to Squarespace. So if you go to squarespace.com, they'll give you a free trial for 14 days. If you like what you see, sign up with coupon code.
There's still no Q in the word.
You're not changing my accent. whatever it is, my enunciation. Coupon code IT at checkout, and you get 10% off your total order. It is so easy, even a Bob can do it, and you should too. And it's cheaper, like if you bring it out
just
per
straight
month,
up registering a domain. Yeah,
yeah, it's cheap. It's cheaper than paying for hosting fees, and you get a sweet website. And yeah, life is good. I'm happy. I two projects done. I think I'm gonna go for number three pretty soon.
Gonna let Gretchen build a website?
No, I'm gonna start my own web design company, and I want to just build it. I'm kidding. I'm not gonna. My friend did that, and he was using Template Monster, and he had all the templates, and he was like a web design. I go, so Matt, you know, work.
Can I have number eight?
Yeah, exactly. I saw that one on Template Monster. He's like, like I cut. It's all right. I'm not gonna tell any of your customers.
Right.
You know.
Not going to out you.
There's been a lot of crazy, crazy crap happening this weekend in the technology world.
There's been a lot of crazy, crazy crap happening just in the world in general over the course of this past week. But yeah, no. From a tech perspective, God, where do we even start? So apparently, we're about out of IPv4 IP addresses, which we've been hearing for 4 years now.
Longer than that.
Yeah.
And then finally, it's reached critical mass. Like there was a request that was denied because they did not have enough IP addresses left.
Yeah. Which I'm not going to lie, the video that was out the day, it's all about the pronunciation. The guy was from England, and so he pronounced it the day the Rooters died, as opposed to Routers. But it's a phenomenal song. It was hilarious. We threw it out on Twitter, but yeah.
So what happens when all the IPv4s are gone?
You switch to IPv6.
Right, but what if you're not capable of switching?
Then you get no more IPs.
Then, okay, that's your fault then.
So yeah. How many people in this room work at a company who's IPv6 ready?
I like to think I am.
Crickets.
I do. I'd like to think I do.
Yeah. Cisco, you would hope. Since you're the bastards that are pushing this crap.
Right. Even though, yeah. Thanks, Bob.
Hey, there's only so much waterfront property. You know what's the crazy thing that's going on? And Dave, me and you, we have long we've had old message forum pass going back to the BBS days.
Oh, yeah.
And Reddit finally done blown up.
Dude, Reddit broke itself.
What a ridiculous. So here's
how you know you're not really a business. When volunteers can shut down like 50-60% of your website with no recourse whatsoever, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it other than asking them nicely to bring it back, you're not really a business.
Well, let me give the equivalent. Right. Let me give the equivalent of the Reddit CEO. It's kind of like the guy in your neighborhood that worked at a flower shop that you made the HOA president.
Right.
And he goes, I got power! And he goes crazy.
He thought he was He-Man.
Right. By the power of Forrester Square.
I have the power!
Yeah.
There's a petition right now, 150,000 signatures.
There's more than that. It's a quarter of a million.
So calling for resignation of the CEO, which is...
Yeah.
It's crazy. She fired one of the mods, which how do you fire someone
from a volunteer position?
Victoria, right?
Her name is Victoria. Right. She's a buddy, you know. So I worked with her on a Watson AMA project.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah. She's not just a mod. She's the one that coordinates all the heavy-duty, hardcore ask-me-anything.
So yeah. Obama, his AMA was Victoria run.
Probably anyone who's been doing anything has done an AMA.
Hi, I'm here in New York with Victoria. That was what everyone said.
But the thing that Reddit doesn't understand is Reddit...
Which we all know was Victoria typing.
Right. No, but Reddit is because Dig shit the bed. So yeah. Everyone flocked to Reddit. So now everybody's saying, well, now where do I go?
Vote. That's the new thing, right?
VOAT. Vote.co. Yeah.
But yeah. Their servers can't just, they can't handle the load. I cannot get onto the site right now.
There was a great meme on on Reddit that said vote.co right now. And it was the picture of Silicon Valley with all the cords in the living room and the fire, right? Like, it was just like I could just see vote now going home.
Shitty code. I'd totally be okay. Right.
Was it Zune bad?
Was Apple 4 bad? Or
Apple Maps 4 bad?
Apple Maps bad. Oh, my God.
I logged into Reddit like Saturday morning and there was nothing available. I'm like, oh, never mind.
This, yeah, no, the entire front page was like crickets, mind. Crickets, crickets. Yeah.
But then again, it's all, you know, within like a Reddit type community, it's easily manipulated. And then you have these power hungry people playing World of Warcraft in their basement that think they own the internet.
How do you kill that which has no life?
Right. And they have the power of the delete button and the bots to upvote the stuff they like and to delete the stuff they don't. And it turns into a shit show. And it finally reared its ugly head. And Reddit is officially a shit show.
It's all of the people who complain. So, like, I always joke that, you know, so fantasy football is basically Dungeons and Dragons for people who made fun of people who played Dungeons and Dragons
so true.
Back in the day.
Slightly better social skills.
Right. No, but Reddit is the high school popularity contest for the kids who were never popular in high school.
Right.
That's how that works.
I get all my news from Reddit. Reddit's like my sole source
of news.
Totally
with me. I don't know where it's my lazy. I was trying to explain it to a coworker today because we were talking about it. I go, it's my lazy way to see the internet on one page.
I'm sorry. Aggregator.
Randy just corrected me on Twitter. She wasn't a volunteer. She was an actual employee.
Oh.
So I didn't know they
Thanks,
actually,
Randy.
I didn't know they had employees. Go figure. All that Reddit gold must have went for, you know, got payroll for a few people.
That internet money.
Exactly. She got free internet gold. What is that? I don't know.
So, yeah, other bad weeks. And I don't, for the love of God, speaking of Ask Me Anythings, I don't understand why people have not yet figured out that doing a Q&A on Twitter is a bad, bad idea.
Nothing good ever.
Dude, Bobby Jindal, who, you know, the last time around with, you know, the State of the Union was who the Republican Party, like, trotted out as the potential candidate.
He's showing so much promise.
Putting all their weight behind him, got destroyed doing a Twitter Q&A. And, like, and it was even, like, shit that I didn't know. Like, I kind of pay attention. Like, I didn't know that every official portrait that he's had done, he doesn't look like an Indian guy that he is. He looks like a funny-looking white man. And people were
Those are weird, dude.
And people were, like posting photos like, hey, Bobby, who's the white guy that's hanging up in the governor's mansion?
Can you lighten that a little more? Enhance?
Yeah.
You've been hanging out with Michael Jackson lately?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah, when you're hanging out with your white friends, you pretend to not like hot food? Hey. Oh, that was brutal.
Safety setting.
Yeah. And then the author of 50 Shades of Grey did one, and that predictably did not go well. Either, you know, whether it was, hey, you know, are you going to write another story or do you have to wait for the author of Twilight to write something else?
I think that's the difference between a Reddit AMA and the Twitter thing. Reddit AMA is the stupid questions get buried to the bottom, where Twitter, it just goes, baby.
You just follow the hashtag and laugh.
And then there's like 4,700 guys doing capture screenshot, right? Mm-hmm. Just so they can get the stupid ones, then post it on BuzzFeed, right? I mean, it's like this whole thing, it basically writes itself. There's nothing, but you know who got duped bad? This is the one that
every company who started up an internet based company in Chicago.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, Milwaukee's going, come on up, baby.
Detroit ought to be, come on over. It's 4 hours. Come on over.
So, if you don't know what we're talking about, Chicago implemented a cloud tax of 9%. So, basically, if you
Netflix and basically any
streaming.
Anything that involves the cloud
AWS,
at all, you know, Amazon Web Services, like anything that involves like a cloud-based service provider platform now carries a 9% surcharge
that's
if it's
not
in
the
Chicago.
Cloud, that's just somebody else's computer.
Right.
I have no idea what's going on right now. There's
a gigantic data center right in downtown Chicago. It's like a block large.
It's the NAP.
Is it the NAP?
Yeah.
And basically, giant peering, all the companies host their cloud services right there.
Yeah. Chicago knows that exists.
Everybody is now paying. That's crazy.
There's no way to circumvent that. Everyone peers there. There's
really
no way to go
Chicago
around it.
For like 5 minutes until everybody moves out.
Until everyone goes to South Bend and Milwaukee and Detroit.
Good job, Chicago.
Yeah. And Minneapolis. Minneapolis, they're all just screaming.
Come to Detroit, thanks
bankruptcy.
You.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But the one thing that got me that I'm not shocked anymore by anything that's going on, but Facebook pulled a social experiment on us all.
Oh, dude, that was – I'm not going to lie. This made me laugh so hard when this broke. So
just like, you know, just like the when you're if you're if you support the troops, you got to put a sticker on your car or a ribbon. You know, the modern day, the 2015 equivalent is to change your profile picture to a rainbow flag to say that you're for. So everyone else that doesn't do it.
Sorry, Randy just shot my fantasy football quote to the Dungeons and Dragons people.
Nice.
A war ensues.
No, but the modern day equivalent of the sticker on your car is the I changed my profile picture to my picture
to
with rainbows.
To support X. Yeah.
But Facebook was behind it. It was like Facebook.com/.
It was a Facebook app.
Right. It was a Facebook app that created. Did it. And it, at the end of the day, it was a social experiment to see how
on
many.
On several different levels.
Right.
One, to find out like where clusters of people were changing their profile pic. And then two, to find out how long they were leaving that profile pic up before they changed it. And then three, to find out like who among a group of friends was the first to change their profile pic and then had a ripple effect out to their other friends who also changed their profile
pic. Who's an influencer.
So yeah, we're all freaking lab rats. Because again, if you are not paying for a service, you are the service.
Yeah, this isn't the first time Facebook has done this. There was an experiment.
No, it's not.
Where they would fiddle with people's news feeds.
They did the whole,
this
play
is
with the
more
news
positive, this is more negative. Yep. Let's see how it impacts their mood.
Yep.
We are the – what's in the terms and conditions? We are the service.
Exactly. If you're not paying for it, you are the service. Absolutely.
It sounds moderately less evil than normal Facebook stuff, though. You know, they're tracking who's leading the charge.
But they also – then they could also target more advertising to those people. Yeah. There's the science behind it.
The
science
is all about –
you're
not the influencer. You're going to make all your friends buy this product as well.
Yeah. So if you're a zero influencer, you're not going to get the ad correct. Like Nuri is a major influencer. Mm-hmm. So he's going to get all the ads and all the things, right?
Nuri changes profile. Never do anything like that ever.
I didn't.
They don't?
No. We don't need data. We don't – stuff.
Yeah, no, marketers and advertisers hate data.
Keys. We have keys over here.
Can you fund this? I just
look
want to
Elvis.
Do some stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think that changes my cloud score?
Is that still a thing?
I don't know. I get an email once a month saying I got a
cloud. I do. Hey, your cloud. Yeah, so it must.
I want to ruin my cloud like a Yelp, bad Yelp review. Like that, like one. That's the stupidest
Dude,
thing.
So did you hear that apparently there are talks for the development of a TV show a la Silicon Valley about Yelp?
Oh, yeah. Boy. Oh, boy.
I'm sorry. If they don't call it elites, I'm going to be cranky. Like, how could you not?
Randomly speaking about Yelp, did you guys see that Stephen Colbert, Monroe Public?
Oh, absolutely.
Television?
Oh, dude, that whole thing with the little bar was epic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude waited like 13 years to post a review.
How did they get that pulled? That was like borderline genius how they pulled that off.
I'm angry that Stephen Colbert was here in town and we didn't know about it. Well,
Monroe isn't really in town, but
it's a close. Short drive away.
Lazy Boy Factory, public access TV. You know, that's about the only thing that Monroe's good for.
Monroe Community College, woo!
Go humans.
About to sing their fight song?
MCC, woo!
So a couple things. We've got a little bit. Do we want to talk about coin? Or do we want to talk about?
I want to talk about. So the person who had the worst week ever.
Oh,
let's talk about that person. Mm-hmm. So there's a guy that Nuri knows who you know it's in his name, and so he managed to snag the Twitter handle at Britain.
Back in 2007, you know,
right.
Britain wasn't probably on Twitter at the time.
So and it's his name. So it's like that's a thing.
Like Great Britain spelled identical to
at Britain.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
at
that's
Britain.
His name.
Is he great?
He's pretty awesome.
He's awesome in how he deals with, dude, the shit that he gets tweeted at him on the 4th of July is epic. Like the story that came out, like he did, he has such a great sense of humor about it, and he plays along and he just rolls with it. Dude, the stuff that was in that post was just incredible, and he knows it's coming. Like and it, like all of his friends, hey, you know, you want to have a good time, make sure you're following at Britain today.
You know, I think the favorite one I saw was
and it's a guy Britain. Here in Michigan.
Yeah, right, yeah. It was at Britain. We don't need your tea. We got liberty.
Right.
Nice. My absolute favorite. Like, so he handles it pretty well. I think when Britain was having their elections this year, just thousands of people like, Britain, the elections suck. And he's like, I know, it's terrible, right? So he handles it
pretty well. Well, yeah, it is. It's a guy that's here in Michigan, apparently comes to PenguinCon.
He comes to PenguinCon. Yep. I hope he sells it. He says he's going to sell it to the British government only if they give him some kind of crazy knighthood title. That's the only way he'll sell it.
I'm going to need naked photos of Kate Middleton is what I'm going to need.
And the Duke of Blank. Duke of Earl, maybe.
I would like to be cirrhosis of liver in an official registry somewhere.
Nice. Oh, stop.
Dumb.
Nice.
He's so stupid. Honest to God.
That's... What's the opposite of a bell?
Yeah, that.
So yeah, other people having bad weeks. Donald Trump still having another bad week. His casinos got hacked. But that's not as bad as the company that was creating custom malware and viruses for other companies that got hacked and now has 400 gigs of data floating around online on the torrents.
And what's even better about that stuff is in their client list, there are countries that they're not allowed to do business with that apparently they've been doing business with. Shocker. So we'll see how that goes. Good luck to you guys. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. Oops.
It's my Ghostbusters theory. I'm telling you. The security people that say they're creating the anti-malware and antiviruses are writing the viruses, and they're hiring companies like that, and they're doing backroom, back alley deals, and they're releasing these. Whenever their stock's down, they release a virus, and then they come to the rescue, and they have a fix in 2 hours. It's not. It's true.
Global Dave. Conspiracy.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's reptilian not a shape changers.
Totally.
Okay, gotcha.
The lizard men come out. They write the code.
My favorite topic, and we haven't had a good one of these in a while, but so from the World Hates Us and Nature Hates Us and Earth Hates Us department, so there's a rather large increase in shark attacks off the Carolina coast, and they have no idea why.
Keep feeding them.
At the same time, Portuguese man-of-war jellyfish, which are the jellyfish that could kill you, Bob – because they're
Me?
Just that nasty.
Oh.
They can. Yeah.
I don't go in the water. So yeah, I'll be fine.
Yeah, they're showing up off the East Coast. Then we have yet another death from the brain-eating amoeba.
So you're saying the ocean is attacking the East Coast of the U.S.?
Pretty much.
Another conspiracy.
Let's blow it up, America.
Yeah. Exactly. You could go stab the ocean.
Don't we have a navy? Send the navy in.
Submarine somewhere doing something. What the hell are you guys doing?
Make the Japanese make it a tasty dish, and then the Portuguese man of war will be gone.
Right.
get the Japanese on it. Right. They're getting rid of the sharks from shark fin soup. Make it some like $200 bowl of soup and Portuguese man of war soup.
Makes your tongue really numb. It does. Don't
chunky Portuguese man of war.
Could we?
They're
could
gone.
We
wife would never like you better. Tongue numb. It'll be a happy night.
I'm going to be there in 2 weeks. I'm going to be in Japan. I can't wait.
There's a Sharknado follow-up to this. It's Fukushima's revenge. Man of War gets the East Coast. I don't
know. Well, and Sharknado 3 is coming out, 2 weeks? I think it's July 23rd. It's hitting the airwaves.
They start shooting today.
I'm waiting for Squirrelicane.
Squirrelicane.
That needs to be a thing. Someone get on it. Someone call someone. You have people. Call your people.
And then from the screw all of our lives department because we're doing it wrong. We've talked about this guy before. PewDiePie. The guy that.
What did he make last year?
He records himself playing video games and then puts those recordings on YouTube. That Emmer Effer made $7.45 million dollars
American?
Last year. American.
With an M?
With an M.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, not a B and M.
Jesus.
That doesn't make me as angry as the other one I found. That Judge Judy makes $47 million a year.
Dude, you know what? I'm okay with Judge Judy.
But when people say there's no opportunity, there ain't no jobs, like PewDiePie is recording video games on the YouTube.
Wait a second. Recording himself playing video games. $7.45 million per year.
And his expenses are only like $600,000, so it's like all profit. He has
well, and
overhead.
So, you know, it's 4th of July, the big Nathan's hot dog eating contest thing.
My favorite.
What I did not know, which, hey, Joey Chestnut lost. Ooh, big deal. But what I didn't know, and like as they introduced every single contestant for the competition.
That guy's the best, by the
way. Hey, here's their YouTube channel. Like they all have their own competitive eating channel where like they all sit around and hey, I'm going to eat 20 filet of fish sandwiches, not because anybody's paying me to, but because you idiots are going to effing watch it.
That sounds fantastic. I'm out of here. I'm going to go start one right now.
We're all doing it wrong. Just start eating in front of YouTube.
But see, that's how marketing is happening to kids right now. I was in Maine this weekend. And all the girls were talking about was, I'm watching this guy's YouTube channel. They were doing this. They were doing this. It was like nonstop. I'm watching these try guys.
Wait, so you were in Maine this weekend? Or were you in any way affiliated with the asshat that decided to put a mortar on top of his head and light it off?
No, but I was close. And God rest his soul, because apparently it kills you when you put a mortar on
your head. Go figure. You put a mortar on your head and light it off. That causes death. What a novel freaking idea. Who the hell knew?
We probably shouldn't try that again next year, Dan.
No, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, kids, don't try this at home.
I don't know. I went to Nathan's. I'd be lucky if I could eat four of them things, let alone 62.
No, I'd be good for, I don't know, at least five or six. They're hot dogs.
What if they were vegetarian hot dogs? How many could you eat, Bob?
None.
0.0.
Bean curd hot dogs. Kiss my ass. On that note, we're going to go up against a quick break. We're going to be back with the boys from Creative Breakthroughs. This is the IT and the D Show, and we will be right back.
All right. See you guys in a few.
Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT and the DE Show.
If you're a reseller of IT solutions, the original equipment manufacturer should not be your strongest competitor. At Quantum, we understand the true meaning of partnership. We work with our channel to deliver industry-leading solutions together, all the time, not just when it's convenient for us. Heck, we don't even have a direct sales force. Quantum is looking for a few good partners. Call 586-745-4DXI to get started. That's 586-745-4394.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Welcome back. Segment 2, episode 99, the July 6th edition of the IT in the D Show. We're hanging out above Activate Gaming in the Trinet corporate offices in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy. We're here with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. You're going to have like six names by the time it's done. Find us online, itandthed.com. Give us a like on the Facebooks. Follow us on the Twitters.
He's got more acronyms than a security expert. Right.
And if,
that's hard to do.
And if you have the Googles, go to the Google Play Store.
Yes, and for those that have asked, we are working on the iPhone app version. Will come out with version 2 because we are like just kind of tweaking the app a little bit to include our events and a few other things. So version 2, it'll be in the Apple Play Store. Life's good. Calm your eye boobs. We're good.
Hey, we're trying to help out a pretty cool company that kind of approached us, and they are a lot of people ask us, how do I break into IT? How do I advance my career? What's the path? Yeah. And these guys are careeracademy.com. Basically, if you've taken any training course around town, their content may or may not.
Hypothetically speaking,
their content may or may not have been involved. But these guys are the kings of content. And what they're doing is they're basically, if you want anything from an MCSE, MCSAA, to the Cisco stuff, CCNA, CCMP, if you want to get your PMP, it's Dynamite.
Your FNG.
Right.
I got those.
You know, usually what people we BOM. Tell people start off with A+, Network Plus, Security Plus.
Yep.
Well, what they're doing is they're offering 12 months of online training. So it's basically consume it as you wish, buy it as or use it as you like, train on your weekends or in your spare time. But they're practically giving it away. If you go to vip.careeracademy.com/IT and the D, one word, courses are $69 to $99. They're, in essence, it's like 90 to 96% off.
So there's no coupon code.
No, this is
that
this is a direct link.
Okay.
VIP.careeracademy.com/IT and the D altogether.
Okay.
You're supposed to airplane. I just prompted you to all together.
Oh, vip.careeracademy.com/itinity.
But yeah, it's classes are literally for CCNA, you're getting $99 for 12 months worth of content, self-study. Obviously, you know, you got to take the test on your own time. This is just the training stuff. But what a cool offer if you want to break into IT and you don't want to break your bank.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When we started talking to him, it's not a bad deal at all.
Right. But yeah, we'll post everything on the Twitters and our homepage and all that. So if you didn't hear us on the show.
Yeah, it'll be in the recap.
We'll definitely want to talk about it because, it's cool stuff. So appreciate the support of Career Academy. And hopefully you can help a few people out.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we diving in? Because we're not allowed to talk about what we talked about during the break.
No, we can't.
Wait, I have one question, though. The guy you were talking about before that made all that money with YouTube.
Yeah.
PewDiePie.
Yeah, that guy. How do you have $600,000 worth of expenses playing video games? That's what I want to know.
Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Red Bull.
Gotcha.
Funyuns, Cheetos.
Right.
A lot of Taco Bell, man.
Bandwidth. Games.
Okay. Probably host. I wouldn't doubt hosting at that point.
Yeah.
Unless YouTube's doing it for you. The game companies are going to start trying to get their cut out of that as well for people who are reviewing and making money. Basically, game companies are like, I need 5% of whatever you make on this review.
It's kind of like Wrigley Field. You want to charge people to watch the game from across the street, or you're going to charge you $10 a head.
What?
Yeah, or they're going to build a giant wall. But hey, segment two, we're brought to you by longtime IT veterans, Dave Glenn, Dan Gregory from Creative Breakthroughs, otherwise known as CBI. I have known Dave probably since 98-ish, and you have been in IT security this entire time, and so has CBI. Appreciate you guys coming out.
Well, and he was part of DetroitNet 1.0.
1.0. He's one of the four horsemen.
Yeah.
0.9, we actually called
the
it.
The beta.
The beta.
Yeah. Right.
The alpha and the beta.
So for those not in the know that are, you know, you got to know who Creative Breakthroughs is if you live in this town. But for those not in the know, why don't you give me a 101 on what you guys are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So CBI is a 25-year-old IT risk management company. We are right now headquartered in Ferndale, and as of September 10th, we will be moving our sales executive and marketing presence downtown, maintaining our offices in Ferndale. And really excited to be here, so thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks.
So what is some – I mean, data security, we can talk about this for 13 days or 13 – you know, what's – you know, we joke all the time, like what's some of the craziest stuff that is going on today that some of the people's hot buttons? Obviously – we talk all the time about, oh my God, the Russian mafia, and they're gonna hack me. But nine times out of ten, at least in my lifetime, it's someone internal.
The CEO who leaves his password on a post-it on top of his laptop.
Right, that too, that too. But I mean, you know, what are you guys seeing as like the most egregious, like ridiculous things that people are doing these days?
And yeah, absolutely. I'll let Dan dig in a little bit here in a second, but one of the greatest things about what we do is we really help organizations figure out where they're at risk. And then help them figure out ways to combat that risk. And probably one of the sexiest parts of what we do is ethical hacking. So we will again go in and help organizations figure out where they could be exposed. One of the things that we're recognizing now is it doesn't matter how large your organization is, it doesn't matter how exposed you are. Eventually, you're going to be the target of an attack. And we've done some really interesting things over the years.
How often do they even know? That's another key thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing, Bob. Is you end up having a situation where you could be the source of an attack. You could be a part of a botnet or the launchpad for an attack for years and years and years, and never even know that you were doing that. We've walked into organizations that were actually attacking their customers unbeknownst to them. Dan's actually got a really cool story about an assessment that we did a while back. Dan, you want to tell them about that assessment?
About where I came from? That one?
Yeah,
how far back do you want me to go?
Well, no, the the time when you tucked the blueprints
on
your...
So, before I get into that, though, you mentioned something, some of the what's changing in the way we're seeing things differently a little bit there. There's definitely a changing in the maturity in the space around IT risk management, which is really what we focus on now. Organizations are really starting to finally get the fact that they have to grow up a little bit and document what they do and make procedures and policies and actually apply those and be able to, like you said, measure and make sure that it's effective.
Are they really getting it, or are they just getting forced into it?
Well,
yes.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. So one way or the other, they're getting there, right?
Because let's be real, developer 101, mm-hmm. the document, I'll put comments in the code, that'll be fine.
Correct. Yeah.
They get spit out in error messages when the thing crashes.
Right.
Right. Well, one of the things we actually are preaching is you're going back, you're actually investing in it and doing it the right way from the ground up. The foundation is seriously taking all these kind of warning signs seriously and documenting what you do from the ground up and actually making sure the maturity is there and putting in place the technologies and the monitoring systems to make sure you understand that what you invested in is actually making the impact you purchased it for in the first place.
That's why we don't work there, Bob.
Precisely.
No, they're all about maturity.
Right. Well, we're getting there, but
I think a couple of really interesting things to think about is A, on the one side, there are more and more compliance issues from a governmental perspective where you're actually being called to the table, and
I'm
healthcare
getting my
organizations
ass
are getting
kicked
fined.
On PCI 3 right now. PCI 3 is kicking my ass.
Absolutely. So more and more people are being held fiscally responsible and sometimes even criminally responsible for being for exposing things. Mm-hmm. You know, we just heard about the Firekeepers breach, 85,000 cardholder records breached, and there's
breach God, the OPM breach that we talked about last week. Where God, the Office of Professional Management, the organization that's in charge of making sure there aren't security leaks in any other government agency. Got hacked.
And now they know my sex habits. Right. Seriously.
Yeah.
Thanks, OPM.
Congratulations. Well,
anybody who's been to PenguinCon knows your sex.
Anybody who follows me on Twitter.
No, but we
That's not a government secret.
We were reading a story last week that more people spend more time choosing the color of their Verifone pads at their play than the security codes, because they said there's two codes right now that are like 95% of all Verifones sitting in existence.
Top left.
Use those two, one of those two passwords.
Top left.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Top left.
Well, it's because most people are left, they hold their phones with their left hand, and that's where the buttons are most conveniently located. So it makes sense. I was on a walk through that first one. That's a fun one.
Yeah, one more quick thing. So on the one hand, from an organizational perspective, people have to be more and more concerned about protecting data, protecting privacy, figuring out what their key information is and making sure it's protected properly. On the other side of it, though, for those of you that are listening that are either considering a career in IT or potentially looking to make that next move in your existing career in IT, information security is not going away. This is something that's building. We're seeing more and more demand in the marketplace today. It's definitely a time and a place where you can really write your own ticket if you get into this industry at this point. And I don't see that moving anytime soon.
No, and I can't tell you how many people I've had that conversation with over the past year and a half at our events. I mean, it's a huge growth industry. And more to the point, there are so many places that will help you. You know, go get your CCNA. Go get your CISSP. Go get your ethical hacker cert. Go get... You know, any of that kind of nonsense, and just go do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's exactly right. We actually have a program called CBI Academy where we'll take anyone from a recent college graduate to a mid-level IT person to a very experienced IT person that's maybe been in the corporate world, and we will introduce them into the consulting world.
Really?
We'll teach them the skills. We'll put them through shadow jobs. We'll get them to the point where they can go out and be consultants. The greatest thing about working for a consulting company, I think, I'm a little ADD, so you know there's squirrels all
little
over
bit.
The place. Just a little
you get bored staying in one place for more than a couple months. I get it.
Absolutely. Right. In fact, I'm bored right now. No, just kidding.
Me too. Right.
Dave's actually doing a crossword puzzle as he's talking to us.
In my head. But yeah, when you think about it, I wish I had Google Glass if it didn't suck so bad.
That's another
subject. But when you really look at it, one of the greatest things about working for a consulting company is you get to see the impact of how people are using technology in multiple types of organizations.
Right.
So you see how healthcare is using technology. You get to apply those same lessons to manufacturing. You get to apply those same lessons to retail, to all these different industries, and you get to see this sort of broad range of how people are using technology. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's finally changing around here, I think, and that's the part that killed me is there are so many people that stayed in one vertical silo for the longest time, and never got the exposure or the understanding of okay, this is how this works outside of this world.
Right.
Have you thought about?
Yeah. Right. So it's a pretty exciting time right now with CBI. And add on what Dave just said a minute ago, the significant amount of investment that we've made in our recruiting team. We have full-time recruiters, and they are constantly looking for new people, actually, at CBI.
So just security folks, or...?
A wide range of actually of those, and I don't know if Matt, if you want to actually mention, or Dave, if you want to actually mention the positions we have open. Just locally, we actually have at least five that I'm aware of.
Super easy, cbihome.com/careers. I'd highly suggest that
right now.
if you're currently in this industry, you're looking to make a break into this industry, mm-hmm. go to www.cbihome.com/careers and. That'll really give you an idea of what's open, and send in your resume. We're definitely hiring a lot of people right now.
We're projected to hire 40 new people by the end of the year.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we've got 40 to 50 open recs right now within Southeast Michigan, and we are actually moving half of our company downtown as of September 10th. And actually, if you go out to my Facebook page, or go find CBI's Facebook page, or our Twitter feed, if you'll videotape a segment saying "Welcome to the D," we'll actually pick the best ones and invite you to our open house, where you get to meet a lot of people. Yeah. Dan, I just in thinking about it, one of the coolest things that we do is this idea of ethical hacking, helping mm-hmm. organizations really understand where they're at risk.
So let me ask you this, Dave, Dan. Speaking of ethical hacking. The way we always talk about one of the probably most egregious things people do to breach data is emailing Excel spreadsheets to their Gmail account, right?
Yeah.
It's for some companies, it's life and death.
Right.
What do you guys, obviously you guys got to know that that's a problem. Yeah. What are you guys doing to combat it?
Malicious insiders actually is still more of a common incident than an actual hacker.
Sure.
Now the tides are changing slowly, but...
Well, yeah, because again, it's not right. Stranger danger.
It isn't.
It's the person you know.
You know, right? And how do you protect yourself against those that are closest to you? And those technologies vary, and they're really different. So, David, I want to step on you there.
No, I was just going to say it's not even just malicious insiders. It's well-meaning insiders.
Yeah.
It's broken business process.
I'm going to work on this at home later, right? So I'm just going to email this so I can work on it from my own computer.
There you go.
That's exactly right.
Right.
So we're really seeing up to 80 to 90% of breaches are because of either malicious insiders or broken business processes.
They're lazy. They break policy and procedure. Yeah.
Yeah. Even the most egregious of hacks, you don't find that open hole in an organization until you figure out a hole.
Thank you.
Phrasing.
Until you figure out where it is that is that weakest element.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times that is that human element. That's where you
find the good penetration.
That's exactly good penetration.
Well,
starts
but right. I mean, like the dumbest one is so like
penetrating
don't
the holes.
Like you have like AT&T campus, right? You don't let in trailers. Right? How many people don't hold the door open?
Right.
Everyone holds the door open for the guy behind you.
So,
slam it shut.
Because you're trained to not be an asshole.
Right. Show me your badge. I'll pull the door shut. It's like, give me a break.
So nice, that a don't nice be segue that there, guy Bob.
That's absolutely.
That's what we were kind of getting at earlier is we don't just do the electronic side of things or procedural analysis. We actually do physical penetration testing as well. And there's actually a really good one. thank you.
It penetrates.
Thank you. I'm going to try to lace as many of those in there in the next 10 minutes as I can. So a number of years ago, we engaged with a larger a company that has organizations or parts of the organizations are based out of California, Auburn Hills, Michigan, and then on the East Coast. We had to get together and make a game plan where we were physically going to infiltrate their facilities, physically go out there and break in and take things that we weren't allowed to get or go to places within those buildings that we should not be. So it was really kind of like cloak and dagger, James Bond, coordinating watches, the whole nine yards. I went to the West Coast of California, Dave went to the East Coast, and another one of our consultants, Sean Bertrand, actually stayed in Auburn Hills. Once we had coordinated this event, we literally, within minutes of each other, tried to physically break into those facilities. I was pretty successful in that I walked to the back of the facility. It was a shipping and loading dock. I walked in with my camera on, saw hard hats hanging on the wall, empty cardboard tubes, put one under my arm, put on a hard hat, and started screaming into my phone like I was mad at someone on the other end. No one's going to approach the angry white guy that's walking through a warehouse.
Carry a clipboard, no one will ever question you.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Clipboards.
Actually, better than a clipboard is a cardboard tube under your hand and a hard hat.
Yep.
No one was approaching me. I was
poisoned, I bought a hard hat after this, by the way.
So I walk through and I'm taking.
Could never mess with engineers, especially not structural ones.
So as it turns out, I'm walking through and I'm really just taking pictures and video. And I'm walking through and I spy the foreman's office that separates the front office from the warehouse area. I see his office. He's got a closed door meeting going on. There's two or three people in there. I pace back and forth for a little bit, make sure I make eye contact with him, make sure that he sees me putting my hand on the door handle. I walk in. I give him the, you know, I'm sorry, I'll just be 1 minute type, you know, hand gesture.
Right.
As if to walk through, aim for the other door in his office, thank him for letting me cut through during a meeting, and now I'm in the front office. Turns out it's a ghost town. I can't find anybody. You could hear a pin drop up here, and it's obviously built for hundreds of people. It's like 3 or 4 story building. And then I start hearing murmuring coming from a large room, like an auditorium sound coming from loudspeakers. I walk in, and it's like an all-hands meeting. The company is in this auditorium-style seating arrangement, and they're listening to a person who's speaking what it sounded to me to be like Japanese or Chinese, and there's a translator next to him. And I bump the guy next to me, and I say, sorry, I'm late. He hands me an agenda. I sit through the entire meeting. I listen to this meeting about a design, a project that they're making that's a huge, you know, unveiling for the entire company. The room empties out. I walk down, plug my laptop into the actual same network jack that the guy was using to present with. Took a few pictures there. Then I continued to go to the front of the office, and I found their room where they keep all their drafting and drawings. I won't go into the details of what the company did, but needless to say, they did a lot of stuff on, like, blueprints. They made lots of large designs for the customers.
You want to get them to write a check? That's how you get them to write a check.
Exactly. I want one of those great big cardboard checks. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I walk up, and they're alphabetized. I notice
here's,
kind of
here's the list of how badly you suck.
Right. Here's how much it's going to cost you to fix it.
So I walk up and I just grab one out of a tube. I put it in the empty tube underneath my arm, take some snapshots, and work my way back out of the actual facility. And right out the same exact way I came in, made my flight from LAX back to Detroit and came back, and we shared our wares and what we came back from battle.
No. Here's the first half of the video. It's going to cost you $10 million to see the second half of the video.
Right. To get the blueprints back.
Boiling this down, the fact of the matter is that information security is really a really exciting piece of this industry right now. In fact, on July 16 and 17, there's a conference called B-Sides and Converge hosted at Wayne State. Mm-hmm. Actually, if you go to our...
We may or may not be there, apparently. Hypothetically speaking.
So cbihome.com, look at the events page. There's actually a sponsor, a link to get in there. Really highly suggested if you're in the industry, if you're looking to break into the industry, take a look at that. It's a really exciting place to be. And Bob and I were talking earlier. Again, Bob and I met...
a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
You introduced me to Citrix. I'll hold forever close to my heart that you introduced Citrix to me.
But yeah, we met a long time ago, and as I was mentioning to Bob, you know, here's a local Detroit company. Steve Baroni, our CEO, was born in East Detroit. We're finally moving.
Not South Detroit?
South Detroit. Took the midnight. I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to sing on the show.
I digress.
Yes, I do occasionally. But yeah, we're moving back downtown. And
but you guys were doing IT security before that was a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You really, I mean, but when people were like, well, I don't need a firewall, I got a hub. I mean, those were the days when you guys first started out.
In IT risk management now, which actually means quite a bit more.
Absolutely.
Security is a component of that.
No, Dave was saying earlier, people are, you know, you're legally responsible now as a C-level executive for your company's data.
Yeah.
And those breaches, I mean, obviously every company's different, but they cost in the tens of millions of dollars when you're losing info.
They can. And even worse, you can lose your brand. You can lose your reputation.
Absolutely.
And how do you get back that, you know, those things? And you can't put a price tag on that.
Right. You look at Target gets breached and, you know, then all of a sudden – 20% of the people are like, well, I don't know if I want to go to Target. I'm going to go to...
I still don't shop at DSW.
Really?
Still. No.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. But hey...
did you before? Wait.
That's another story.
Hey, you know what? I want to keep you guys around for segment 4. Data security, we could talk about. We could have 14 shows on this. But we're going to be back in segment 3. Dan Dugan talking about Maker Faire, PenguinCon, the Reddit blow up, and a whole bunch of other stuff. This is the IT and the D show, and we'll be right back.
Yep. Hopping into a break. Catch you in a few.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Welcome back. Segment 3. This is the IT in the D Show, episode 99. We are sitting here above Activate Gaming in the TriNet corporate offices in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, here with David Geek. Nuri, the BOM. Find us online, itandthed.com.
The BOB, the FNG, the EIEIO.
The WTF. The Twitters, the Facebooks, you know the routine.
It is all IT and the D. You know what we didn't talk about?
Because we are IT and the D, and
you are not. Still are not.
Absolutely, you'll never
so be. So we didn't talk about, we were at the Whiskey Parlor on Wednesday night, and we had a really good time.
That's a cool place.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. Like, a great place up above Grand Trunk, if you guys like are familiar with wandering around downtown. Check out the Whiskey Parlor. My buddy Tony Klee hooked it up. They have more bottles of whiskey and scotch than you will ever see in your life.
You know what Tony told me? It was a cool story. He said that used to be, before it was Foran's Grand Trunk
Bar. Oh, dude, this was the best.
It was a hardware store. And if you opened up a certain door in the hardware store, it became a speakeasy back in the Prohibition days. The bar for the Whiskey Parlor is the bar that they used in the speakeasy, untouched.
Yeah, they had the bar up in the quote-unquote storage room that they would send people up to, and that's beautiful. The original bar up there. Dude, it's
they
phenomenal.
Got, what, 82 different bottles of whiskey? They know their stuff, so if you say, I like a smoky, peaty scotch, he will have an assortment for you of different elevations of it. I mean, it's,
yeah, how much do you want to spend is basically the next question.
right. It's your budget.
But hey, this segment 3 is brought to you by Online Technologies, cloud hosting providers. They are co-location providers. They've been around probably as long as Creative Breakthroughs. Rockstar company. Give them a look-see online, onlinetech.com. You will not regret it.
Yeah.
And we're drinking delicious falling down beer.
We are. Because I went and got the CO2 tank refilled after Eric, who's a great guy, for bringing us a new keg last week, but forgot to turn off the CO2 tank before he untapped the keg.
We'll forgive him.
Well, we will.
That's not an agree. Yeah, you brought beer. You're good.
You're right. We still love you.
You could have taken a crap on the floor, and we would not have cared.
But yeah, so then our next event is next Thursday. We'll be at Blackfin Back Room, 5 p.m. usual. It's home base, the usual fun and excitement, and then we're going to be playing with Convergys. We'll talk about that more in segment 4. Converge. Yeah. Let's dive into segment 3 with Dan.
Absolutely. So we are joined by Dan Dugan, who is, I mean, there's probably, like you said, how do you want me to introduce you, Dan? He said about 17 different things. How about we start with Maker Faire and then we go from there?
Sure, absolutely.
Well, he came to us via
PenguinCon.
Saw you guys at Comic-Con as well. That's nice.
So, yeah, PenguinCon, which is rapidly becoming the source of all things that we want to be doing.
Absolutely.
And what's crazy, this was like his first year at PenguinCon was last year?
3 months ago.
Okay, right. So his first year at PenguinCon was 3 months ago, and now he's assistant chair of PenguinCon.
I'm assistant chair.
I'm so going to be running it
is
in 2 years.
Is there a slow clap?
Totally. That's chair. That's
Big Ben on campus.
Yeah, PenguinCon was awesome. Kind of blew my mind all over the place. The critical parts of PenguinCon, the reason why it works so well, are the volunteers, the wonderful people of the Greater Detroit region and further, who make it happen, who take their the essence of their juices,
their spicy brains,
right into PenguinCon. It's 500 hours of programming. We've got more and more.
Dan's all about the juice he can get out of you.
No, but if you don't know what, like, I was introduced to my first PenguinCon this year, and basically it is whatever you are into in the geek community, they have something for you.
Let's go a step further. Here's Reality 101. If you call yourself a geek in any capacity
at all, beer nerd,
and you show up at PenguinCon and you can't find something that is of interest to you,
and turn in your card.
You're not a geek.
They had shillelagh fighting. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Shillelagh
fighting?
Yes.
Oh, my. So, yeah. No, PenguinCon was, in the best way that I've come to describe this to everyone I've talked to, it was like part like hardcore Linux geek convention, part cosplay, part Maker Faire, part Comic Con, part BDSM part. I mean, it was
part just, lighting chicks on fire in your room.
Oh, you know, that was the after parties.
We don't talk about those things.
Dude, it was seriously. I mean, it was. I've said this a million times. It literally like brought me back home. Like it, like I felt burnt out for a long time. That weekend, like, woke me right the hell back up. And it was hilarious. There were so many people there that I ran into that I hadn't seen in 10, 15, 20 years that were like, why is this your first year here, ass?
Yeah, Dave was a kid in a candy store. I don't see Dave smile often, but he was, yeah, end to end.
My dude, I was grinning like a Canadian on South Park.
Around.
My
head was
beating the lies and flapping heads.
And I sat in the corner most of the time, like, I'll.
Oh, yeah, that was the best. Like, I kept walking over to Bob going, dude, are you all right? You're like, no. Your world. Go do. You're good.
No, I tried to talk to people, and Mega Type A does not flow well in that crowd. So I'm like, hey, how you doing? My name's Bob. They're like, I don't. You're loud. Get away.
We'll get a special room for Bob.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Say you with the Scarlet Johansson Black Widow outfit.
No. Yes, she's going to remember me. So what? So Maker Faire, talk to me about that and what it is and what it does.
Sure. Well, you were at PenguinCon because of Enable.
That's correct.
Which was
so many segues here. It's
no, we are. I want to make sure I want to draw the boxes in the right order. So, Enable was the phenomenal group that was there with PenguinCon.
Wonderful.
That was basically
people.
Doing 3D printed prosthetic limbs for kids.
Yes.
So instead of costing $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, hi, here's all the people that we guilt tripped and blackmailed into showing up with 3D printers. Wow. That were doing prosthetic arms
for $35.
I'm reaching out to the audience here as well. Great people at IT and the D with 3D printers or access to a 3D printer.
Come back for more than just PenguinCon.
Yeah, I can use you guys year round. We are so we do a lot of work with hands. It's called a Raptor Reloaded Hand. It's 32 pieces. We print out the parts. We give them to high schoolers to assemble. It's part of their summer jobs. These hands are going out to Panama. They're going to Vietnam. They're going all over the world.
Here's my thing. I love Make a Wish Foundation. It's great. Kids terminally ill. Send them to Disney World, meet John Cena, life is good. But you want to talk about Make-A-Wish, you give a kid Darth Vader's hand.
Dude, yeah, you go from the outcast kid that has no arm.
To the coolest kid ever.
To that's so got
Transformer hand.
Yeah, you're RoboCop.
Are you Tony Stark's little brother?
Right, you have Iron Man's hand and you can tell the story. I mean, that's some Make-A-Wish crap that you can't even... And the cost of doing it is minimal. That's why I fucking love that so much. Yeah, anyway.
So go to enablingthefuture.org. You can send me an email. I'll throw out my email. I'm daniel@agileada.com. Send me an email if you
agile
want
to. Agile what? I missed that.
AgileAda. AgileAda.com. Daniel.
ADA, got it.
Yeah, so send me an email if you want to be part of PenguinCon, if you want to help out with Enable. And Makers, what's it going to call it? Makers Faire.
Yeah.
Coming up in 3 weeks.
And that's the next segue. So, yes, that is coming up in what, 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
The 25th of July. And it's my fourth year going, my second year with a booth. We're having an Enable booth there at the Maker Faire. And it's a wonderful event. Bring your kids. If you have a kid who, is hesitant to engage in technical things, show them what's cool about technology at the Maker Faire.
Well, because, again, there's a little bit. Dude, it's the entire Henry Ford parking lot full of single
museum
thought.
As well.
Yeah. And like every – if you can think it, someone is doing it in that parking lot.
If you
absolutely.
Can see it, you can be it.
I'm going to punch the ever-living crap out of you.
Yeah, if you want to see
where you're going with that. Yeah. Wow.
If you're going to see what's going to be cool, 3 months,
sales.
6 months from now, go to the Maker Faire and talk to the guys that are actually working on it.
This is the first year that Enable's had a booth, right? Last year I was there. There were all kinds of 3D printing. So 3D printed jewelry and knickknacks. This is the first year Enable's going to be there and check out what you can 3D print.
We have the fanciest booth yet. We did a lot of events with First Robotics. We did a lot of events. We did the Ann Arbor Mini Maker Faire. We have the best booth ever.
That's awesome.
Why?
So we've got about three or four 3D printers set up. We're gonna have a variety of not just hands. So at PenguinCon we had a lot of the Raptor Reloaded hands. At the Maker Faire we're gonna have the arms, we're gonna have seven different varieties
of
hands.
This is new, right? So Enable's no longer just doing prosthetic.
It is
hands.
Me. You know, I am, and there are a few other guys, Grand Rapids, Aaron Brown. Quick shout out to Aaron Brown, hell of a guy. Is doing a lot of good work there. Joe Rabidow has a makerspace up in Lansing. Doing a lot of work with kids, getting them engaged with makerspace.
And they're not just making the little spinner thing that says boob, poop, boob, poop, right? They're actually doing stuff that, that actually matters.
So there was the poop joke. There
right, exactly.
We have gone 1 hour, 18 minutes.
We made it all the way to 10:18 before the first
poop
joke.
No, but the 3D printing, like, I don't know what, we always say it's like it's like 1976 personal computer in terms of maturity. We had a couple guys on talking about, you know, what happens to China, Mexico when 3D printing becomes something where everyone's enabled to make their own car or their own tools, right? What happens to the Snap-on tool guy, right? I mean, we're kind of at the beginning of an era that we don't really know where it's going to go yet.
Absolutely, yeah. The kind of the birth of computing feels a lot like this. This is work being done in garages, work being done, you know, in basements, and coming to the path where we're printing off our flatware, where we're printing off, you know, something breaks on your vacuum. You know, you just print off that belt. There's so many materials out there.
Amazon's going to turn into a blueprint store, in essence, right? Or you just...
I certainly hope not.
Someone's going to have to sell the designs.
What's the best place to look up information about stuff like that? Like, I don't know a lot about 3D printing.
So if you're going to enter into the world of 3D printing and you just want to get started, the price point isn't as steep anymore. It used to be, you know, take out a small loan on your home and buy a 3D printer. But now it's, you know, assemble your own for $300.
Well, no, and we're still waiting for the, you know, we talked about this when we had Matt Rausch in, where, you know, bring me the, okay, DCE Energy has my electricity pipe. Mm-hmm. You know, Consumers Energy has the gas pipe. Mm-hmm. Have someone that has my materials pipe for my 3D printer coming into my house.
Sure.
But it's then you get back to the dryer and
you get back to the design though.
And Bob, pay by consumption.
Who's selling those designs?
Yeah.
That becomes the commodity that people are gonna purchase and download.
The best part about 3D printing is open source. Yeah. You know, it's
well, that's where it's gonna get one guy sells the blueprint and then it's all gonna go open source. Who's gonna it's like sharing a PDF file.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah.
Someone's gonna figure out some way to monopolize it or to hang on to it, you know, that you have to use them, right? Again though. I can see a lot of things that, like, where the future is moving to. That's one thing I have no comprehension of where it's going to go. Because I think, again, they're 3D printing houses in less than a day.
Possibilities are endless.
They really are.
No question.
The 3D printed cars.
Locomotives. God,
we were at the auto show. They were printing a car every 22 hours.
Wow.
And we got to hang out and kick the tire, literally kick the tires and play around in one. It's outstanding. I mean, like, incredible. The technology's there.
So you think in maybe 5 to 10 years that houses will have a stove or refrigerator?
No, not in 5 to 10. I mean, if it's 76 PC, so think about when you got your first, you know, when did I get? I got my Commodore 64.
So the Moore's Law is going to kick in for 3D printers.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I think people see it. If you've subscribed to Motley Fool, you know, hey, this next big thing, and it's 3D printing.
I think in 5 to 10 years, we'll be printing our own food. Right. I mean, it's the replicator from Star Trek.
I'm not going to lie. I never understood. Like, if you have chocolate, why are you 3D printing chocolate?
Right.
Like, you already have chocolate.
Right. You're going to get a plate of chocolate.
You already have
chocolate.
Textures. Right. Yeah,
if I have chocolate on tap at my house, then 3D printing's worth it.
Right.
Can I 3D print a friend?
Yes.
Sorry. Yes.
Too much.
No. Right on. Right on for the audience.
So I mean, so Maker Faire. What else can we expect when we go?
Oh, things exploding constantly. You know, beautiful women up and down silks doing aerial tricks.
I'm intrigued.
They have
explosions of women.
I mean, the giant mouse trap. They run this, you know, bowling ball through a 500-foot circumference. Things fall down.
It I think mouse trap when you were a kid. Yeah,
like mouse trap. Yeah. Like when we were kids.
Drops a safe.
I'm thinking more
Fiesta.
Indiana Jones.
Theater Bazaar was there a few years ago. Might be back. Let's see what else. They have this 3D printer set up that prints pancakes onto an iron.
Wow.
Interesting.
You got pancake batter. Why do you need a 3D printer to make pancakes?
To make them like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Duh.
It's actually going
I can do that on my own.
My kids already think I'm a wizard because I can do that.
Yeah. Delta Sky Club in Atlanta has a machine that'll do that right now in it.
Mickey Mouse pancakes.
You watch it make pancakes for you.
I'm not
the plate
impressed.
It comes
they're
out
not
the
Mickey Mouse pancakes.
They're not Mickey Mouse pancakes.
They're
no.
not 3D printed.
Because you know and Disney licensing. They got to pay for that Star Wars acquisition somehow.
Old school technology.
Mouse shaped pancakes.
Did you see $25 a pancake and I have Jar Jar Binks pancakes?
Did you see something and you still want some waffles?
The Star Wars stuff. That's a bad segue, but it's getting ugly. CoverGirls is now selling Star Wars branded makeup.
Of course
makeup.
They are.
What? Yeah, someone at Disney said, you paid what to Lucas? Yeah,
exactly. And now we bought what for how much?
Right. So they are bastardizing that, like, on everything they can get their hands on. Oh, my God.
Make it stop.
I'm not going to lie. Like, the funniest thing to me that came out, and I realize we're totally segueing away. We'll come back to you. I swear to God.
Sorry.
But so there was a whole, like, debacle that went down this week where they figured out that the vast majority of like the mint on card like Star Wars action figures from like that were being sold on eBay and to collectors aren't really mint on card. Like there was some like one group that they found a stash of cards and a stash of bubble pack and they were putting all of the loose action figures they had into those, and the grading service that's out there got duped. And so basically like devalued every single Star Wars nerd's collection by like 80% in a single day.
So another bad segue. Ian tells us on Twitter that Mickey Mouse pancake makers are sold at Kohl's. There's no coupon code though.
So go to Kohl's.com.
So we don't need them 3D printed. Just go to Kohl's.
Coupon or coupon?
If you want to tell the cashier coupon code IT&D, go ahead. I don't know if she'll do anything.
She'll be like, what?
Tell her. Exactly.
You got a price match somewhere.
Right. No, so I mean, like that's the cool thing. I mean, so like Maker Faire is like we've talked about that as being like the next – that's the next wave. Like, you know, so you had the creators or not the creator space. It was the information space, and then it was the content space. Now it's the maker space. Like,
yeah,
that,
hardware
like
is coming back.
Like,
absolutely.
That's
talking about the creative economy.
Yeah, like that's the next generation for the economy. Is okay. Like, what can you make to make yourself valuable? And absolutely. Like, and that's what Maker Faire is all about. Like, it's. Because there are, I mean, there are so many people doing so many goddamn cool things that are out there with this technology. Because all it takes is the blueprints that are out, commonly available everywhere, and the people that are willing to do it.
You no longer have to sacrifice, you know, to choose open source, which is awesome.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have to make a choice between, you know, you can build your own car, you can 3D print your own car, you can take all these steps to be a more frugal, more producing human being nowadays than you ever could.
So I'm a fan of open source, but don't you get in the same situation as like Reddit or like a message forum where you have like the inmates running the asylum, right? And you got this one jackhole that just wants to screw it all up. You got enough people policing.
It's more fiscally responsible to have the inmates running the asylum.
Fair enough. No, I mean, you look at something like a Wikipedia, right? And you always got one jackhole, like, you know, that hates
Are you asking
Bob.
About the donation? Oh,
no.
About the consumer content?
Just 100 hits from weird people.
Right, right. No, I'm just saying like –
yeah, there's always Bob that's out there on the Dalai Lama's page going,
from what I understand,
Lama,
Dave is the Bob.
Big hitter.
The scenario.
Gunga Lagunga.
Yeah.
I post on the Dalai Lama page almost every day.
You know, here's how bad it got. There was apparently somebody came to our event Wednesday night at Whiskey Parlor, spent all night talking to Bob – and thought they were talking to me. And apparently called him Dave all night long, and he never corrected them.
That was Ken from Radio Influence.
Because I get an email today that was like, hey, great talking to you. I'm like, I have no recollection of this conversation. And like three replies in, he's like, hey, I just realized I called Bob Dave all night, and he never corrected me.
He was living in the moment. He
was
Dave.
A loud bar.
Dave
I don't
for
know.
One night.
So we never talked about when is Maker's Faire this year?
So it's July 25th through the 27th, best of my knowledge. Double check my sources.
Where is it at?
Where?
It is at the Henry Ford Museum in beautiful Dearborn, Michigan.
How much does it cost to get in?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Depends on who you ask, because we do have our buddy that we will use as long as it makes sense to use him over at My Tech News, MI Tech News, that has 40 passes, apparently.
MI Tech News.
So you can head over to MI Tech News. He's a sponsor this year, and hit him up. Tell them IT that he sent you and that you would like a free pass for Maker Faire.
It's seriously an awesome
And they're gone.
But there's a lot of buy one, get one. There's a lot of opportunities.
It's totally worth it. Take your kids.
But if somebody shows up, like, I mean, like, do you know? Like, if somebody shows up,
I think
say
I pay,
Saturday, and they want to just wander around.
$25 for a day pass, something of that nature. But it's, you know, full 12
still
hours.
Worth it.
Yeah.
You had us at Explosions.
Explosions, right. Beautiful women, tasty food.
Oh, food.
Yeah, good. Tasty food.
So we leave the wives home. And
yeah,
we
precisely.
Go.
I'll meet you guys out there behind
the
big
last segue right. I'll drop on you guys. So something that's really close to my heart that I've been engaged with for a few years is FIRST Robotics. There's a FIRST Robotics team in every high school. If your kids aren't part of it, they should be. I wish there was, you know, a FIRST Robotics back when I went to high school. And it's also an opportunity to mentor. So I, 4 years
ago. Well, what
ago,
is it?
So FIRST Robotics is a group of students who get together that build a robot from the ground up. They send it to various competitions throughout the states. And then if they do well.
Now, like fighting robots, like, you know, we had Matt Orline in here way back in the day.
No, Johnny number four.
Who has now moved on from i3 Detroit, and he's out in Boston, and he's built the Megabots. And apparently he challenged Japan to a fight because World War II. And Japan accepted because World War II. And now there's going to be a U.S. versus Japan showdown.
Because World Cup.
And that all
because World Cup. Right? Yeah.
Nice. That's all based out of getting robotics out there in the community. You know, so the wonderful guy, Matt from i3, got started most likely with a community-based robotics organization.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was going to mention, but Dave jumped in with the robot story.
I do that. Sorry.
I was working, you know, it was terrible hours, like 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. IT tech job. And then some people came by and said, hey, we need a couple people for FIRST Robotics to volunteer. I raised my hands, you know, jumped into embedded software, started making some connections, really took my career to the next step from that point because of FIRST Robotics. So get out there and mentor. They need mentors. They need students. They need communities to help kind of build what's going to be good about Detroit 5 years from now.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So, hey, Dan, appreciate you coming out. Where do you website for Maker Faire?
Oh.
Do you know it? If not, we'll Google it and we'll put it on the update for tomorrow.
Please
do. I've got the Facebook page for Maker Faire Detroit.
Right on. But, hey, we will be back.
Well, and Enable, though.
Enable. Do you know
I'll
that
send
one?
You a pile of links, but it's enablingthefuture.org.
Oh, good God.
It's MakerFairDetroit.com.
MakerFairDetroit.com.
So the tagline for Terminator 3.
F-A-I-R-E, right?
F-A-I-R-E, correct.
Yeah, yeah. Maker spelled right, right?
Yeah.
All right, good.
M-A-K-U-H-R.
Hey, we're coming up against a break. We're going to do segment four. The Royal Rumble is upon
Maker's
us.
Mark, Maker's Faire.
Right. I wish it should be Maker's Mark. But we'll be right back. This is the IT and the D Show. See
you
in a few.
All right, catch you in a minute.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
And welcome back, segment four of episode 99. This is the IT in the D Show, often imitated, never duplicated. We're sitting here above Activate Gaming in the Trinet corporate offices, beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy, here with Dave the Geek, always here with Nuri the BOM. Find us online.
The FNG.
Find us online, itandthed.com. Find us, like us.
The purple hair.
Yeah. You know the Twitters and the Facebooks and all that. Give us a like. Oh, and by the way, give us a review on
We're visible on iTunes now. Woo! We have visible reviews
slow
on
clap.
iTunes.
Slow clap.
We are so happy. We've only been begging for that for two goddamn years.
So give us a review. I don't care if it's a one worst meatball sandwich ever. Try the falafel, got diarrhea. Just give us a review, please.
I love falafel on
the iTunes. So do I. So do I. It
gives me diarrhea.
It did. I don't care. It was delicious.
It was great going in, not so great going out.
So segment four, the Royal Rumble. What in the world is going on this segment?
We have our event that's Thursday the 16th that's over at Blackfin, back room, 5 p.m., the usual fun and excitement. There's a lot of folks that I've already heard from that are planning on coming. And then on Friday, I think we're going to head over to Converge We're going to head downtown to the security conference that's going on. We're going to do a live broadcast from there.
Now you tell me.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah.
I told you like 2 weeks ago.
You told me nothing.
But now, so we're going to go down. We're going to hang out. We're going to get with some of the folks there and just see what trouble we can get into at the security conference.
We get in a lot. As long as is T-Baby going to be there?
No.
Oh, I figured every time we do a live remote, T-Baby has to be there. We're going to make her be there. I will not. You know what? I will not live on this planet anymore unless she does it. It's IT in the D and sings it.
We don't want them. No, I don't. No, I don't want to know.
Yeah,
you have a theme song.
No, so the it's so cold in the D. She was at the social media day in Detroit, and we went back. We got the girl Sola that runs it. We got her to go backstage and to find T-Baby because we wanted her to say it's IT in the D to play in the beginning of the podcast, right? Instead of it's so cold in the D, and she wouldn't do it.
Oh. Well, her manager.
Manager said, call me. We're like, no, we're here.
No, there's no call. No, but we'll talk about it. No. There's no talk. There's no next week.
We have a recorder.
I've got the handheld recorder right here. This is all I want. Just make that happen. Now you're dead to us, and we talked shit about you all last week.
That's the one thing. The two things that angered me more than anything at Comic-Con was J.J. Walker's there, right? And you think, hey, he's a jovial, nice guy. Oh, what a crabby old man he is now. And we're like, all I wanted to say is the IT and the D show is dynamite. And he goes,
I don't do that shit.
He goes, I don't do that shit. I'm like, are you kidding me, J.J.? You're like,
I'd rather
come
hear you
on.
Say it anyway, man.
I know. I should record and say it was him.
Good. You just did.
Exactly.
Right.
Andrew McCarthy said no. Yeah, Andrew McCarthy was he's bitter like he hasn't worked in 20 years. Oh, wait, he hasn't. Wah, wah. Weekend at Bernie's.
Nobody cares about the Law & Order SVU episode you were on last year, Andrew McCarthy.
Was he?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Yeah, Fredo, because he advertised it. It was on like his banner. So that was like honestly, like, the best thing about Comic-Con were guys like John Schneider. And that's like that's in our intro. We're like, John. So, yes, and again,
right.
The IT and D show, proud. Lovingly, still having John Schneider from the Dukes of Hazzard in our intro, everyone can kiss our collective ass. He was like, we walked up, and we're like, hey, you know, here's who we are. This is what we want you to do. We'd like just do a little drop for the intro of our show. And he was like, well, what do you want me to say? We were like, oh, you know, hey, you know, this is John Schneider. You're listening to a couple of good old boys. You know, it's John Schneider from the Dukes of Hazzard. And he was like, man, why does everybody only want to talk about Dukes of Hazzard? And he turns around and he points at his banner. He's like, do you see all this other shit that I've been on over the years? We're like, man, nobody cares about the new stuff. Just play the classics. That's all we want. And so we did. Like, we gave him the handheld, and he starts recording, and he turns. And he was like, hey, this is John Schneider from, and reads the entire banner.
That's great.
And oh, by the way, yeah, and the Dukes of Hazzard.
It seems like Ralph Macchio is not a – like that sort of like – just do like, hey, it's Ralph Macchio, wax on, wax off. Whatever you want to say. He's like, wax on, you know, the rest. Like they were so disinterested in like
– where is like – dude, so like Zabka. We had so much fun with Zabka last year. We got hammered with
Johnny Lawrence, the bad guy.
Had
from
a great
Kid.
Time. And so like this year – so like this year we're walking around and like we were like walking by and – like, you know, Bob's got this great, like, vinyl print. We're like, all right, well, let's get this, you know, we'll get this signed and we'll go up. And we walk up and he's like, hey, guys, what's going on? And we're like,
that's good.
We're like, man, we didn't, like, I didn't want to assume that you would, like, we're just, like, assholes from
who
Detroit.
Knew? Way cooler than Ralph Macchio.
No, like, we're like assholes from, like, I didn't want to assume that you remember us. And he was like, dude, are you kidding me? We were drunk all last weekend, all weekend last year. Where's the party tonight? Where are we going? What's going on? Where are we going?
Right. Still didn't get to take him downtown,
cooler
but that's
all right. Cooler than Miyagi and Macchio combined.
Absolutely. Well, but Miyagi's dead, so he doesn't have a chance to redeem himself. Well,
I liked him better on Happy Days anyway.
Yeah.
Mr.
Miyagi was on Happy Days?
Yeah. Arnold.
Yeah. He was Arnold. He was the guy who owned Arnold's Diner.
Exactly. Before
for the Italian guy?
For the big nose dude?
I forget him. Yeah. Looked like a Muppet.
Yeah.
Speaking of Muppets...
We have Ruppets.
We got Ruppets made of ourselves. I don't know if that makes Ruppets. Us egomaniacs or just stupid.
It makes us drunk at Comic-Con. That's what it makes us.
We're like, make one of us. And then we get them. We're like, ooh, yeah, that's a little bit.
No. Best thing ever. I'm so
happy. They're pretty
on
the nose.
You guys are very Muppet worthy.
They needed to make it look more Bert and Ernie, make me like a little bit more rotund, right?
But, yeah, that Bubba's first comment was, Bob's needs more stuffing.
It's true. Oh. I have to live to that now. I have to.
But Dave, I think the hair on yours is like spot on.
Well, and it's so good. First comment was, Bob's needs more stuffing. Second comment was the Statler and Waldorf Muppet Show picture.
And this, the weird thing is you got to take a picture. They're laying on the table, and I happen to be on top of you, which is not
let's not speak of that.
No, I know.
It's different than your average Saturday.
That's how they arrived at my house, but you know, we'll never speak of that again.
Right, exactly. Yours was sucking its thumb.
Just crying a little bit.
Exactly. Where's my mama? Anyway, what the hell is going on?
So we wanted to hop in and converge. Like I said, we talked about our event next Thursday, and as it turns out, I think we're going to hop down to Converge. We had previously thrown out a very cool discount code for IT and the D listeners that were out there that knocked a whole bunch of money off. And there's apparently a new discount code that you guys touched on that we want to make sure that gets out there. What's the new code that makes it even more affordable to go?
CBIC 2015 GOLDSP.
Wait, hold on. Go way back.
It's a little slower.
Yeah, don't be that guy. Hey, it's Dave Glenn, and I'm here on your voicemail. And I'm just leaving you a number, and I just want to call me back. My number is 5-6.
I totally did that to you one time, by the way.
I know you did.
Matt Thompson, what do you got?
So I think the easiest thing for everybody to do is just visit us at our homepage, cbihome.com. Go to our events. There's the actual coupon. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes. Yes, no. Yes, that is a yes.
Coupon.
What color is school buses?
What if I'm colorblind?
Yellow.
Yellow, you got the yellow or orange?
Is it that black and blue and tan?
No, it's not that.
Orange. It's my ass.
It's orange.
Right.
So, yeah, just visit cbihome.com, go to the events, and the code will be in there. And then, obviously, with any of the social stuff you guys do after the show, we'll have it on there. Free admission. Ooh. As long as the codes are up there. So
that doesn't suck. Ever.
No,
free as in beer.
Free 99.
I told you earlier, we had the conversation where we were thinking about relocating our Thursday night event downtown, to be a part of this, and they're not ready for us for one of our events. So,
of downtown turned you away?
No, just this event.
Oh.
They said, we're not ready for you, which I've heard once before in my life.
Gotcha.
So
Dave said, there'll be beer. No beer. Yeah, then you're not ready for us.
No, so I mean, but it's a great, and we've heard, we talked with, God, Wolfgang was on episode one of our show talking about B-sides, the whole point of this. And it's.
Yeah, I've never been. What can someone expect going to this thing?
Wolfgang works for us now.
I know he does, which is.
Answer the question, Dave. Answer the question, Claire. No, so what does someone expect by going to this thing? I've never been to the conference. Serious.
Good stuff. Learning things. So Converge is really about...
Thanks, marketing guy.
Yeah, good save.
Yeah. So Converge is really about having security thought leadership and talking more about how you want... earlier in the program, we were talking about IT maturity and all these assessments. And really what this is about vision. In IT security, and not just I have this product A, B, and C. And a lot of things that we're talking about in the security community is all about culture, and it comes from the top down. And you just can't say, okay, well, I bought this product and this product and this product. I checked this compliance box, this compliance box, this compliance box. I'm good, right? No, because the guy at the bottom that doesn't get why you're doing all these things, going through all these trainings, buying all this $1 million in software, if they don't understand why you're doing these things and the whole procedure, it all goes away. And I think Converge and B-Sides, which are kind of combined into one 3-day conference now, that's really what we're trying to strive for as an IT security community, is have that bigger messaging. And, you mentioned being a marketing guy. IT security to me is really interesting. And I think as an IT security community, that's the big thing that we're trying to do, is make it sexy to everybody.
Penetrating that hole.
I mean, the comment I wanted to make earlier to all you guys, I mean, IT security has been, it's a pain in the ass now more than it's ever been because of BYOD. You have people people expect whatever device they bring into a network to work in their network, right?
It's bring your own
device.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yep.
Bring your own network.
All this talk about. We got invited to a BYOD party. I'm like, I'm not going. Bring your own drinks.
None of us went.
They were talking about laptops.
What?
They were talking about laptops, Bob.
Yeah. No, I know. I have one.
Yeah, perfect.
No, but if you think about it, like, we always talked about at Chrysler, he showed up, the CEO showed up and said, make this work. And they go, well, we don't support it.
Here's my iPhone. Make it work.
Yeah, make it work anyway. Right. I think it's important to look at things like Converge and B-Sides and understand that if you are a industry professional, if you're in IT security, if you're a business owner, if you are looking to get into IT security, if you are in compliance, I think these types of things are important for you just in general, because it gives you an opportunity not only to learn from the presenters, but also to network with people that you should be looking to within the community. And I think it's really exciting to be living in a place like Detroit right now, because we have a tremendous amount of resources in terms of engineering talent in this city. We have a tremendous upside to the market here. We have a lot of really interesting tech incubation firms here. But not only that, Dave,
you have a lot of old companies here.
That have
a lot of old legacy systems that have a lot of old terminology that need a refresh, need a kick in the butt.
Old, you're making me uncomfortable.
No, it's me. So tell me. Their company's older than us, Dave.
Wow.
I know. That's old. So you only got me by a year. It's not that bad. I'm just saying.
A year and 2 days.
That's true.
I think everybody can benefit from something like this. Definitely take a look at the website for Converge. Definitely take a look at the website for B-Sides. If you're interested in information security, if you're a practitioner, if you're responsible for security or compliance within your organization, it's definitely something you should be looking at right now.
I think it's great because if you're just listening to your security vendors, you're not getting it. Because security is not a product.
Right.
It's not something you can buy. It's a strategy your organization has to have. And when you're around like-minded people, I think you get a good idea of how you're doing it.
Well, Nuri, that brings up a good point, too. Like, when you guys did the live pen test at PenguinCon, like, how many, $15 an hour receptionists are getting trained on social engineering? Do they even know what that means?
Yeah, that are coming in from the temp agency because to fill in for that day.
Do they even know what that means? Right.
Right.
Hey, I'm Jake from accounting,
and we're Jake from State Farm.
Right.
I'm wearing khaki.
I was gonna say Bob from accounting, but I'm like, wait, I'm Bob, so I got to change a different name.
Right.
But you
only have to wear khakis if you're a reporter.
Right. That's what we learned. We learned that. But you know what I mean? How many people do they train? Like especially when you walk through the warehouse, those guys, they're working on. They don't know. Like,
right. And it's a great story. It's anecdotal to what we really do. It's all about the services that we provide. So I guess the tagline to that whole story, as fun as it was the thing that we like to target is the highest risk factors, and humans will always be that. So you talk about targeting that with training, right? Which we can provide. We do the assessments around the controls they should be following, the policies and procedures, which is why it gets back to the very first things we were talking about is document what you do, be able to, put it in place and prove that you're making it better as time goes on. So it really does start with the basics, documenting what you do and putting it out there in front of those end users and the employees and the people who actually do protect the data in your brand at the end of the day. So that's really where we focus is our services.
Or protect your front door, right? If it's your receptionist front door,
or the
or
back door,
cashier, or
in this case,
right?
Or the back door, yeah.
No, so
no pun intended on that one.
The cool thing is so it's not just like looking over the conference schedule. It's not just talks and presentations. It's not just boring, nonsensical crap. You have a capture the flag contest going on. You have a lockpick village going on. You have cool interactive stuff to go play with.
There's recruiting too, so I'll just throw that out there. I know the Twitter feed's kind of hitting up with the recruiting aspect. So our CBI will be there recruiting, and there will be some other companies that have booths. But as far as networking and working with other people in the security industry, it's a great place to just have those open dialogues.
So what you're saying is if I was a seasoned IT pro or someone just graduating, it would be a good opportunity for me to head in and get to feel for IT security.
Either way, absolutely. And if you feel like looking at the way locks work, the LockSport stuff is really, really cool. Just saying.
There's an old saying that everyone's in sales. I think if you're in IT, everybody's in security in one way, shape, or form. I don't care what type of admin or what type of
– I went to a lockpick village about like 3 years ago. That was one of the like honestly most fun, awesome experiences that I've ever gotten. Dude, it's just – it's a great thing just to go play and do. Yep. I mean because it really does make you realize how like – bullshit. the vast majority of the security that we like hold
how
ourselves geared to.
Insecure physical security actually is.
It's a thin veil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really people who do lockpicking will tell you that if you learn how to do it, it will one day save your life.
Yeah. Sure.
And I totally believe it. Yeah. 100%.
That's awesome. Very true.
If you've ever seen a scary movie, if you had a lockpick.
And if you didn't run upstairs, you'd totally be alive right
to
now.
To take a shower.
Well, you know, we did, that was a couple episodes ago, the rules of surviving a horror movie. You know, you can never have sex. You can never drink or do drugs. And never ever say, we'll be right back.
We're not. It's the end of the show. So we'll be right back.
See you by the bell.
Yeah, exactly. There was a couple dumb stories. Can we hit them before the end of the show?
Go. What do you want to hit?
So apparently, you know, to work at Best Buy, apparently you need a credential.
Well, if you want to be in their marketing department, let's be fair.
It doesn't matter. I don't care. If you want to be in their marketing department, Twitter.
No. You have to have – no, not just Twitter.
250 followers.
You have to have at least 250 followers.
That you didn't
what?
Spend – you have to have 250 followers in the Twitters.
Microsoft Office, Excel spreadsheets, Twitter.
Right. As if you can't spend $5 to get 1,000 followers, right? So like they're not going through, you know – again, they're a dinosaur. They're gonna and they're proving it once again that you sincerely don't know what you know.
Well, and here's the thing. So, like one we didn't get to that isn't necessarily a one-off story because it's something that's kind of near and dear to us because of the bullshit that we've gone through is the guy who bought and has owned WorkBetter.com for the past 16 years.
He bought it in 99,
and a startup came along and decided that they wanted to file a trademark on the term workbetter.com and decided that they're now going to take him to court for copyright infringement on a domain that he's owned, run, and used for the past 16
Ridiculous.
Years.
Wait, you mean people do that kind of thing?
Yeah, they do.
I never heard of such crazy
things. Exactly. Apparently, I'm not going to lie. I actually shot the story to Greg. I'll refer you to this guy. You can have that story. Go do.
Yeah, I mean, didn't PGA.com get sued for the same thing?
Yeah, from the Potato Growers Association
Potato Growers,
of America. Yeah.
WWF,
and the golfers wanted to sue them, and the golfers lost horribly.
Yeah. Nissan.com, that one, right?
Which so is still out there.
Still out there.
Blue Oval.
Once a week, I would send a note to the World Wildlife Fund saying, you've ruined wrestling forever. That's a true story.
Stupid pandas. They may be cute.
Pandas are stupid. I'll go extinct.
Unless you have pandas beating each other with chairs, kiss my ass.
Right, make that a TV show.
I'd watch.
And then the last one is, do you anybody sign up for Coin? I think you did, Nerd.
I am so pissed off about that because I signed up very early adopter and have still not received.
So if you don't know what Coin is, it's a single, basically single sign-on credit card where you input all your credit cards and it's two-factor authentication, right? It's like $140 to have this thing and it's
it pairs to your phone, so basically you give the waiter the card. You basically select what card you want, and your phone knows where it's at, and it's supposed to be all secure. And
so, someone I know and like and trust very much within my company bought one. He was one of the first ones to get one. Said it was a 70% failure rate out of six cards he put in there. Three of them have been breached to the effect of thousands of dollars, where basically had to cancel 60% of his credit cards. The only one that didn't get breached was his corporate Amex he decided to put on there. Luckily, that one didn't get touched. But he said it's a huge nightmare, and he goes, I wouldn't wish this upon anyone. So, yeah, if you have one, Nuri, send it back. I'm just saying.
Wait. So basically, of the swipes,
70% failure rate.
So basically the waiter's going to come back to me and says, I can't read your crazy credit card.
Yep.
Damn it.
Yep. What is this crap? And then the other ones got breached and actually got stuff ran up on them.
30% of the time it works are 100% of the time getting hacked.
So 60% of the time it works every time.
Also known as Bob Credit Card Syndrome.
Right, right. I got another one.
Bob's debit card syndrome, yeah.
I got another one. Did you buy – it was $8 in Belgium. I go, nope, I haven't been to Belgium, so I haven't had a debit card.
Here's your card.
I haven't had a card in 10 days.
Until Amazon send you some for an $8 Belgium charge.
Like yeah.
I would have just let it go.
You know, they no, they don't give me the option.
Belgium,
that's the test.
Unless they're waffles. I don't care. You know, but they don't give me the options. They said, we're canceling your card and sending it. I'm like, again.
Wow.
So, hey, we got something a little, I guess episode 100 is kind of a big deal next week.
It is.
Congratulations.
It's going to be a fun one.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, we will be here live. Same bat time, same bat channel.
And we've got Mark Larson from Falling Down Beer coming in. We've got
The usual suspects,
the friends of the program. We've got Karen coming in to join us, who was our board op and the lead-in show from the network that shall not be named. It should be a lot of fun.
And they're bringing an extra keg just for this. So
Voldemort.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you guys know the routine. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You guys got to get the hell out of here. This has been the IT and the D Show, episode 99. We will see you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
Emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Ain't the run. The run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe owned the Chiefs. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass, go home, unplug, get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me. I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.